C had reported that hijacked suspects are alive and well. Those who we've been presented with as hijackers were in fact present elsewhere, in Casablanca, in various locations, alive and well. Abdulaziz Al Amari, Ashok Al Assat, listed as the hijacker in the United flight that crashed in Pennsylvania. The most cursory examination of the official fiction discloses what we really are looking at here. Many of you may remember that Fox TV News, Carl Cameron and Britt Hume, did a series of broadcasts about the role of Israeli intelligence. And it disclosed that all directory assistance calls and call records in the United States are now carried out by Amdocs, an Israeli company tied to Israeli intelligence. Indeed, the National Security Agency in Maryland noted that all sensitive calls in the U.S. are now in Israeli intelligence hands. There is an inseparable functioning linkage between the highest echelons of the U.S. intelligence apparatus and those of the Mossad. Amdocs, Converse Information Systems, CALIA, the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement, all with a backdoor under control of the Mossad, as is disclosed here by Fox News in particular detail. But they proceed to document as well that 200 Mossad operatives were assigned to a series of tasks, including those in Hollywood, Florida, where they were monitoring those who we are told are training at flight schools. And they were located within three doors of Mohammed Atta, and they were in constant contact with him. And then there is the description of the urban moving system and the detained Israelis, in which the urban moving system was responsible for organizing the presence of Israeli military intelligence personnel in the hours preceding the attack on the World Trade Center, standing there with cameras to film the events prior to their unfolding and during, and subsequently detained and immediately released, and then, as they are surfacing again in Tel Aviv, being acknowledged as military intelligence and Mossad. New York Post amplifying on this. The stories the American media have not covered well, says Al Gart in the New York Post. The white van at Sears Tower in the Philadelphia Mercury. Israeli intelligence officials preparing to video Sears Tower, evidently anticipating that that was a target soon to be under attack. Le Monde, March 5, 2002. The vast Israeli spy apparatus that functions with U.S. intelligence throughout the United States. Yes, the hands of the Mossad are all over these events. Not long after 9/11, Arno de Borsgrave, who is the senior editor at the United Press International and a former editor of Newsweek and the Washington Times, conducted an interview with General Gul Hamid. Gul Hamid had been the head of the Pakistani ISI, the intelligence services, and the figure who was in fact responsible for facilitating on behalf of the Central Intelligence Agency the creation of what has become known as Al-Qaeda. Something like $30 billion processed through. Osama bin Laden and Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, the principal recipients thereof. And in the interview with Gul Hamid, Arnold de Borsgrave was in for something of a surprise, because Gul Hamid laid out for him, as he described it, what he called an inside job. Arnold de Borsgrave was incredulous, as Gul Hamid stated, "I work for you people. This is a stand down. This is an operation of Israeli intelligence and the Air Force and intelligence services in the United States. The transponders are not accorded their due. There are no scrambling of jets immediately after the event. We know who benefits from this," he said. U.S. intelligence agencies, the Israeli Mossad, those who have a stake in extending their reign throughout the Arab East, destabilizing the Central Asian Republic, seizing its oil. He laid it out in particularized detail, and he said, I work for you guys. You trained me. Standard operation, he said. He was asked about Osama bin Laden. He said, are you serious? From a cave in Afghanistan? A few people who can't break wind without being monitored? Your intelligence agencies joke about the fact that they pass around the communications that are monitored. Every time they use a cell phone, every time they attempt to send any kind of communication. He said, it's an inside job. And he particularized the reasons for that. Well, how many times have we been treated to the dramatic evidence of a new tape surfacing from Osama bin Laden? Shazam! More dangerous than 50,000 hydrogen bomb-bearing missiles, more menacing than the former Soviet Union, it's Osama bin Laden from his cave in Afghanistan. You remember the initial video that was released in which he was taking responsibility for the events of 9/11 and congratulating those who had partaken in those events? Hani Sibai, as reported by the BBC, an electronics expert in London, ascertained that we had here a classic scissors and paste job in which a video of a wedding ceremony where Osama bin Laden was greeting those who were attending was married into the presentation with voice undiscernible. And what was transparently a fabrication. But they kept at it. Every time there was a dramatic event that represented some kind of political problem for the rulers, out comes another tape from Osama bin Laden. The one with the paraplegic sheikh, you recall. Supposedly done during a visit to Osama bin Laden outside of Kandahar during the full moon of Ramadan. Well, the full moon did not occur during Ramadan. Osama bin Laden, however, did do an interview of some length, which appeared on the BBC and in a Pakistani publication called Umat. He said, I have already stated that I have no involvement in the events of September 11th and the attacks in the United States. I had no knowledge of these attacks, nor do I consider the killing of innocent women, children, and other humans an appreciable act. There exists, he says, a government within the government in the United States. That secret government must be asked as to who carried out these attacks. The United States should trace the perpetrators of these attacks to these persons who want to make the present century one of their own control, who want to enslave other countries. That is the assessment, and it's elaborated by Osama bin Laden without attempting to romanticize this figure. The fact of the matter is that if you look at the Umat interview, which is elaborated and given in person, there is little incentive for this man to disavow that which he is supposed to be dedicated to carrying through. There are similar characteristics to be found with respect to others of those accused. Let's take a look for a moment at Massawi, Zacharias Massawi. Now, interestingly enough, Zacharias Massawi is, we are told, a person who received some flying instruction while he was in Norman, Oklahoma, at a flight school there. Interestingly, we now learn that a man named Nicholas Berg was also at that flight school, and somehow Zacharias Massawi had obtained his computer password, which he was using as his own. Who do you think owned the flight school in Norman, Oklahoma, where Zacharias Massawi and Nicholas Berg were taking instruction? It was Warren Buffett. The same Warren Buffett who at 7 a.m. on the 11th of September, 2001, hosted a breakfast of CEOs with offices in the World Trade Center at the Offutt Air Force Base, the SAC Strategic Headquarters in Omaha, Nebraska. The same Warren Buffett, by the way, who is the chief economic advisor today to John Kerry, even as he had been for the Gruppenführer, as we call him in California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So you see, brothers and sisters, the elements of control are apparent, and the authors of these events emerge. The hired hands, notwithstanding, the plug uglies are not the focus of our concern. They are the instruments, yes, but they carry out the will of those in power, and they do this at our expense. And their perpetration of these acts are not those of their own, but the implementation, if indeed they are involved in all, is apart from being covers and patsies on behalf of those who rule. False flag operations, the characteristic mode of the ruling order. How many times in the official hearings did you hear Condoleezza Rice and Kofor Black and Robert Mueller and Bob Kerry, the former senator from Nebraska, and the whole panoply of these people, Tom Kaine and so forth, talk about the history of Al-Qaeda and the series of crimes that they had perpetrated? Condoleezza Rice referred specifically to the Achille Lauro event. You remember the Achille Lauro? It was imputed to the Palestine Liberation Organization when a pleasure boat was hijacked, and at one point, an infirm Jewish man in a wheelchair, Leon Klinghoffer, was brutally thrown overboard. If you read the book Prophets of War by Ari Ben Menashe, we learn that this was a Mossad operation of Rafi Eitan, imputed to the Palestinians through Abu Abbas, funded by Sicilian dons through the aegis of the Mossad. Chapter and verse. How many times in these official hearings was the embassy explosion in Nairobi invoked for us? Yes, Al-Qaeda, responsible for the blowing up of the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi. The San Francisco Chronicle on 11-4-01, in an article by Lance Williams and Aaron McCormick. Ali Mohammed, Silicon Valley resident, planned the bombing of the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi. For 15 years, a high-level FBI officer assigned to the training, no less, of Osama bin Laden's bodyguards in Afghanistan. For many years working with the Central Intelligence Agency, a long-standing operative, the events in Nairobi were the paradigm of the false flag operation. Haaretz documents how the Mossad had not just prior knowledge of that event. The blowing up of the embassy was long in the documented presentations of the Mossad in Israel. Ann Taylor in the Sydney Morning Herald, early warning on Kenya, Mossad foreknowledge of November 28th and the Mombasa attacks as well. Questions mount. This is not particular to the blowing up of the embassy in Nairobi. The Pentagon attack that killed 125 people, exclusive. Newsweek has learned that the hijackers had a close relationship with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Newsweek 9-16-02. The Daily Telegraph in London, June 23rd, 2003, bringing down the Brooklyn Bridge. The American Al-Qaeda operative unmasked last week of planning to bring down the Brooklyn Bridge was an FBI agent for years. You know, I'm standing in the middle. What about the U.S. coal, invoked again by Condoleezza Rice and Robert Mueller and George Tenet and Kofor Black? The C4 explosives had a fingerprint not unlike the anthrax that was documented in New Scientist in London, with the telltale fingerprint of a militarized and weaponized form of anthrax that comes from U.S. military labs. So it is with the C4 explosives coming right from Israeli and American military arsenal, as the Middle East Monitor laid out and documented for us. Operation Trojan. In Operation Trojan, the former colonel in the Mossad, Viktor Ostrovsky, in his book The Other Side of Deception, lays out how the Mossad located transmitter devices three buildings away from the headquarters of Muammar Gaddafi, sending out signals to embassies across the world about planned assassinations and terror attacks, such as the blowing up of the Lebel discotheque in Berlin. Well, the Lebel discotheque was blown up in Berlin, and it was exposed by German television as a Mossad operation in Zweite Deutsche Fernschanze and in Frontal. Chapter and verse. A false flag operation. Many of you may recall Pan Am 103. Remember how that was ascribed to the Libyans once again. Well, in fact, the story of Pan Am 103 is particularly instructive, and the Canadian press has played a seminal role in documenting what in fact occurred. There is an organization known as Interforce in New York. It consists of former Mossad and Shin Bet and DIA and CIA and German intelligence operatives who have gone private. They hire out their services. The insurance company representing Pan Am was confronted by a huge liability prospect from the family members of those who died in Pan Am 103. And they retained Interforce, who did a very extended and detailed inquiry into what were the dynamics of Pan Am 103. And what they established was the following: that in a series of intelligence operations across the Arab East, where the Drug Enforcement Agency and the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States was engaged in heroin smuggling into the United States on behalf of the U.S. government, a number of their operatives were being taken out. As often happens with these operatives, on a need-to-know basis, they are considered both expendable and a risk. And a series of these, six of them, were coming in from the cold on Pan Am 103. What was discerned and what was documented in this report was that the explosives were put on board by the Central Intelligence Agency in Frankfurt, and these figures were taken out. And all the particular details of this, the president of Pan Am said, "I thought I was running an airline and not a drug smuggling operation for the Central Intelligence Agency," quote unquote. By the way, that full report of Interforce was given to one person in Congress, the congressman from Ohio, James Trafficante. He's the only man who actually read it into the congressional record and asked for some inquiry about the events. And as you're well aware, shortly thereafter, he was drummed out of the Congress of the United States on the basis that he had been taking bribes. Well, the John Picton in the Toronto Star and Barron's, the financial publication, laid out all of the evidence about the role of intelligence agencies, namely the CIA and the DEA, in these events. And they documented as well that this was not the first time that at Gander in Newfoundland, a similar flight had crashed, bringing in people nominally from U.S. bases in Germany. And once again, the same scenario, intelligence operatives taken out in the downing of a flight because they were coming out, they were coming in from the cold. False flag operations, the paradigm